Good morning, everyone. It's lovely to be up here again. I'm always amazed by the grace of God when I get to teach, and it's a real honor today to stand before you again. As I walked in, I saw Terry, and Terry's always excited when he sees me, because he's always a bit nervous that I'll forget again that I'm supposed to be teaching. And he's even more excited when I remember that I'm supposed to be teaching. I want to teach on 1 John today, so if you want to open your Bibles to the letter of 1 John, just before Jude and Revelation, right at the end of the Bible. And Mark spoke a couple of weeks ago, and he spoke about the fact that, you know, he listens to music, and there's that U2 song, "I Still Haven't Found What I'm Looking For." And I can empathize with Mark in the fact that I'm also, I don't know if I can call myself a philosopher, but I like thinking about things. And most interestingly, I like to think about songs or movies or artistic things in the art world, because I sometimes believe that artists are more honest than scientists, even though you think it's the other way around. You know, scientists are generally study their one little particular sphere of science, and they're almost bound by a priesthood of science, the fellows who insist that they believe in evolution or they lose their scholarships or whatever it is. So they're kind of restricted, whereas artists very often will say what they think. And they'll very often sing what they think or write, and you'll see movies or different things. So very often I'll listen to songs and listen to the lyrics. And I find it very interesting because you speak to people, and it's difficult to get people to admit what's going on inside of them. But very often artists say it for them. And so there's a group called Passenger. I don't know if you guys know it, but there's two songs I want to refer to. I'm going to just read little portions of the songs for you, and I'll get back to the point a bit later. The one song is called Little Lights, and it says, "We are born with millions of little lights shining in the dark, and they show us the way. One lights up every time we feel love in our hearts. One dies when it moves away. We are born with millions of little lights shining in our hearts, and they all die along the way, till we're old and cold and lying in the dark, because they'll all burn out one day. Yes, they'll all burn out one day." And the second song is a song which is "Keep On Walking." He says, "Well, last night I couldn't sleep. I got up and started walking down to the end of my street and on into town. Well, I had no one to meet and I had no taste for talking. Seems I'm talking my whole life. It's time to listen now. Well, I walked past the late night boys with their bottles in the doorways, and I walked past the businessmen sleeping like babies in their cars. And I thought to myself, oh, son, you may be lost in more ways than one, but I have a feeling that it's more fun than knowing exactly where you are." And the chorus is, "Like a stone carried on the river, like a boat sailing on the sea. Well, I'll keep on walking till I find that old love, or that old love comes to find me." And 1 John, we're going to be talking about it, or looking at the beginning of it, comes from chapter 1, and it's about relationships. So I just want to read the first four verses, which we're going to be going in today. "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled, concerning the word of life. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you, that your joy may be full." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we pray as we open your word today, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts. Lord, we know that you have a message for everyone here today. We know that everyone is here by divine appointment. Yeah, they're not here by accident. And Lord, I pray that you would just use me as a simple vessel, that there would be none of me, but Lord, all of you just pouring through me, and Lord, touching the hearts and the minds of the congregation. Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you can just watch the time, please. I haven't got my watch with me, so if I go too long, just throw something from the back. It'll be fine. John begins that which was from the beginning. Now, what I love about the book of 1 John, what I love about the book of John in general and the Apostle John, is John wrote all three of his epistles, as well as the Gospel of John and the book of Revelation, very late in his life. In fact, it's almost, I almost believe that he might have written the Gospel of John after the book of Revelation, simply based upon the structure of the book, which is so different to the other three, the three Gospels. But as an old man, John understood things about life. And I think many of you can testify that as you get older in life, things become simpler in a certain way. A lot of the little puzzle pieces that confused you when you were young have kind of like sorted themselves out, and you understand things better. You understand people better. And one of the things that you understand as you get older is that some of the most important things in life aren't things at all. It's people. It's the relationships you have, the family, the people that interact in your life that you manage to touch with your life and that touch your lives. And in fact, what's great about the letters of John, including 1 John, is that it's really a book about relationship. It is all about relationship with God, relationship with Jesus Christ, and we'll see the word fellowship mentioned over and over here. So it's all about relationship, and I think John himself also, one of the things I think as you get older is a lot of people that you knew or grew up with pass away. And so, you know, you attend a lot of funerals of people you know as you get older, and you miss those relationships. You think back about people who used to spend time with who might not be there anymore. And John, I'm sure, as he's writing these letters, is thinking about all the apostles that were with him, with Jesus, and he was the last one who was still alive. Every one of them were to die gruesome deaths, and we'll talk a little bit about that a bit later. But he begins this book and he says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. Now, what beginning is John talking about? Well, it's not the beginning of this letter. It's not even the beginning of his ministry with Jesus Christ. It's not even the beginning of the ministry of Jesus Christ himself. He's not talking about the beginning of his life. He's not even talking about the beginning of Judaism or the birth of Abraham. He's not even talking about Adam and Eve or the beginning where the world was created. Well, the beginning that John is talking about is the same beginning that we see in John chapter 1, where it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word is with God, and the Word was God. It is the same beginning mentioned in Genesis chapter 1, where it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So the beginning that John is talking about is before anything was. The beginning for anyone, any created being, anything that was created had a beginning well before that beginning. So before this world, before the universe was created, in fact, before there were any angels, right in the beginning, where there was an eternal God, the Alpha and the Omega, who existed in all eternity. That is the beginning that John is talking about. In the very beginning, in eternity past, was the Word. And it says, and that which was from eternity past, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled. That should blow your mind right there. The fact that this eternal being who's existed in all eternity was with John, and he says, you know what? I saw him. I spoke to him, I heard him, I touched him, and I walked with him. This is what John is talking about. The fact that he had this relationship with the Word from the beginning. The word Word is actually the Greek word logos. And the logos were, the Greeks were very philosophical people. The Greeks essentially looked at life, and they looked at things around them. And being people who are intelligent people who used to think about things, they looked at the birds, and they looked at the trees, and they looked at the world around them, and they said, this world looks like it's been designed by somebody. There is obviously a designer. There is a lot of artistry. There's a lot of creativity that's gone into designing all of these things. And so their concept of the logos was the idea. So they would say, if I'm going to make a table, I'll begin with a drawing of a table, an idea of a table, and then I'll create that table. So the logos is the idea by anything. So it's the design. For the Jews, the logos was actually the word mamre, which is slightly different. What their idea of the word was the one who had the idea. So the creator, God. In the beginning, God created. So God was the one with the original concept. So what John is saying when he's talking about the word of life that was manifest to him, he was saying the one who was pre-existent from the beginning, the one who in his mind had the universe, who thought up angels, who thought up the planets, who thought up planet Earth, and who designed every creature on Earth and every person was formed in their mother's womb, that creator, that eternal creator, the Word, he was with us. And we felt him, we touched him, we walked with him. Alan Redpath makes it a little bit more personal. When he talks about John chapter 1, he says that we use words to express ourselves. We use words to express ourselves. And he said Jesus Christ was God's expression of himself. He used Jesus Christ to express himself. And so when Jesus Christ walked on this earth, when he helped people, and when he gave grace and love to people, how he interacted with people, he was showing the life and the nature of God himself. So that in the end, he's talking about the father, and Philip says to him, Lord, show us the way to the Father. Show us the way to the Father, or show us the Father, and we will believe. And Jesus said, Philip, have I walked with you so long that you do not know? If you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Do you not know that I am in the Father and the Father's in me? If you have seen me, you have seen God. Because Jesus Christ was a manifestation. He was the expression of who God was. And that brings into context what John is saying here. He says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, which we have handled concerning the word of life, the life that was manifested, we have seen. You see what he says? He says, we have heard, we have seen with our eyes, we have looked upon, and the word in the Greek is studied intently. We studied intently, and our hands have handled. We touched him. We saw him, we heard him, we touched him. He was real to us. You see, many people who talk about faith, or they talk about God, and they talk about our belief in Jesus Christ, the way they talk about it, we could be talking about Hansel and Gretel. Or we could be talking about Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs or Father Christmas. It's almost as if it's a fairy's tale. You know, intelligent men sit there and said, oh, these men have created a fairy tale in order for them to believe in something. And so they've created the story about Jesus, you know, to make them feel better, to give them some sense of hope. You know, they've created this fairy tale, and we believe in Jesus the way kids believe in Father Christmas. What John will tell you is, no, no, my friends. The Word of life, the creator of all things, God in eternal, he became a man, and we walked with him. We saw him. We felt him. We touched him. And what did they see? Well, they saw not only the miracles. It wasn't only about the miracles that Jesus did when he walked out healing the sick, casting lepers out, and healing people with leprosy, healing the blind. It wasn't even the fact that he manifested himself in ways which confounded them. Peter said, you know, when they cast the nets into the water and caught all of these fish, Peter said, "Depart from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man." When they're out on the sea and the storm came and was bellowing and they thought they were going to die, and they said, "Jesus, Jesus, do you not care that we are perishing?" And he stood up and he said, "Peace be still." And it was quiet. In 1 second, the waves just died down. And they said, "What manner of man is this that even the winds and seas obey him?" But it wasn't even that. It wasn't even the fact that when Jesus Christ was crucified, as they were hitting the nails into his hands, he was saying, "Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they do." It wasn't even that. But it was the fact that Jesus Christ, 3 days after, rose again, that the grave was empty. He walked amongst them, that they saw him for 40 days, and that he was real. They could touch him. They could put their fingers in the holes in his hand. He was testimony to a life unlike any other life. He was testimony to a man who loved sinners, who spent time with the tax collectors and the prostitutes, yet without sin, and yet without judgment, showing love as a doctor to those who really needed it. They saw the unblemished Lamb of God who was resurrected, and he said, "No, my friends, this is no fairy story. This is what I testify to it. I am bearing witness. I'm standing on the stand and I'm telling you, I was there. I saw it. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the creator of heaven and earth, from all the beginning was on earth and he was real. Amen. We saw him, we heard him, and we touched him." You see how he uses the word "we" over and over again? We heard him, we touched him, we felt him. Now, I can't help thinking that as he was writing those words, "we," he was thinking about his friends, the disciples who died testifying of exactly what John is testifying. James, the son of Zebedee, was killed with a sword in Acts chapter 12. Simon Peter was asked to be crucified upside down so that his death would not be equal to Jesus. Thaddeus was crucified in a death in 72 AD. Simon the Canaanite, aka the Zealot. Simon preached in Mauritania on the west coast of Africa and then went to England where he was crucified in 74 AD. Philip, the first of Jesus' disciples, became a missionary in Asia. Eventually, he traveled to the Egyptian city of Heliopolis where he was scourged, thrown into prison, and crucified in 54 AD. Andrew Agaetus tried to convince Andrew to forsake Christianity so that he would not have to torture and execute him. When he didn't, he decided to make an example of him. Andrew was scourged and then tied rather than nailed to the cross so that he would suffer for a longer period of time before dying. Andrew lived for 2 days, during which he preached to passers-by. Thomas traveled with the gospel to Greece and to India, where he angered local religious authorities who martyred him by running him through with a spear. Matthew, stabbed in the back by a swordsman sent by King Herodicus after he criticized the king's morals. James, son of Alphaeus, at the age of 94, he was beaten and stoned by the persecutors, then killed by hitting him in the head with a club. And Bartholomew, who was skinned alive and then beheaded. I feel that as John's talking about "we saw, we felt, we touched," he was saying, all of my friends who died, they didn't deny Jesus Christ, and I'm certainly not going to now. I testify what I saw. I'm not taking my story back. This is true. And he says, and this life was manifested. Now, the word manifested basically means to be made apparent. Manifested means to be made apparent. It's not that it's not there. It's just not made apparent yet. So those at the back most certainly probably can't see my Bible right now. Doesn't mean my Bible's not there. I haven't got such a good memory that I'm just reading everything out as I go or coming up with it in my head. But basically, it's not manifested. If I was to hold up my Bible like this, now you can all see it. Am I right? The Bible's been manifested to you. If I put it back down again, it doesn't mean that it's disappeared. It simply means that it's not visible anymore. It's not manifested. So what he's saying is God's existed in eternity, although man couldn't know him. He couldn't see him. There was this mystery. Man was searching for God, trying to understand God, but God manifested himself. In other words, the reason why God came onto this earth and lived amongst us, God with us, is so that he could manifest himself to us, so that he, in no uncertain terms in language that we can understand, lived a life that bore witness to his existence, so that people could see who God was. So that was the manifested that he was talking about. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declared to you that eternal life. And that word again. That eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. And it says, that which we have seen and heard we declare, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. At the beginning of the message, I mentioned the fact that the book of John is around relationships. And the amazing thing, as we slowly start unraveling these verses, we see God existing in all eternity. He comes, and in eternity, he decides to create time, to create a universe, to create this planet, to put us on this planet. We live, we sin, we know the whole story. Jesus Christ comes down upon the earth, manifests himself. I am God eternal. I am the creator of heaven and earth. I will live, I will rise again, and I will go again to my Father. Jesus Christ spoke these words. But more importantly than that, not only the fact that John bore witness to it or had the eternal God in front of him that he could touch and hear, but that Jesus Christ had a relationship with him. We had fellowship with him. He spoke to us. He got to know us. We had a relationship where there was this friendship and this love that we had. And more amazing than that is God not only created us, the eternal God not only can be manifested to us so that we might know him, but he wants to know us. He wants a relationship with us. He wants us to spend time with him. He wants to love us. He wants to be a part of our lives. If what I said before didn't blow your mind, that should. I mean, if I was walking with Terry on the beach and we were walking down there and we were chatting and I saw a guy walking towards us and I said, hey, Terry, isn't that A.B. de Villiers? And he goes and says, oh, yeah, you're right, that's A.B. How's it, A.B.? We're walking down the road. Well, it wouldn't be that amazing, would it? I mean, it might be amazing that he's on our beach, or it might be amazing that I recognized him. But the fact that I recognize A.B. de Villiers and that Terry does, there's nothing incredible about that. It's just like everyone knows him. I mean, it's A.B. de Villiers. You know, he's on TV all the time, or anyone who follows cricket, I suppose, would recognize him. But what happens if I'm walking with Terry and I said, hey, there's A.B. de Villiers. And as you're walking down the beach, A.B. says, hey, how's it, Michael? How are things? Good to see you again. Now, that would blow Terry's mind. Like, how do you know A.B. de Villiers? More importantly, what he's saying is, how does A.B. de Villiers know you? You know? How do you have this relationship with him? Well, even more so, that the creator of the universe knows your name. He knows how many hairs you have on your head. And more importantly, despite the fact that you are just like me, and that you are sinful, and that you are in rebellion against God, probably more times than not, he wants to have a relationship with you. He wants to spend time getting to know you. But you see what he says here, and you might have noticed I missed it, not intentionally, well, intentionally, but not because of any, I'll get to it now. He says, which we declare to that you may also have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. He mentions a relationship that the disciples had with John, or the disciples that Christians have with one another, before he mentions a relationship with God. You notice that? Now, he doesn't do it because it's more important. Certainly, the relationships that we have with one another, as important as they may be, are not more important than the relationship that we have with God. The relationship that each one of us have with Jesus Christ is the most important relationship in our life, and certainly should be. It is the most important. So why does he refer to the relationship with each other, the fellowship we have with one another first? And the reason is because isn't that how it happens? Didn't you first have a relationship with a friend or a colleague or a family member who introduced you to Jesus? And that is how you came to know Jesus Christ. That's how it is. We invariably met somebody and saw something different in their lives, and they told us about Jesus, and we might have resisted in the beginning, but something our hearts said, you know, what they're saying is true. And after a while, they said, listen, why don't you come with me to a Bible study, or why don't you come with me to church? And so that is generally the first relationship we have. But again, he's stressing the importance of that relationship. So he says that you have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship was with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. And finally he says, and I won't spend too much time because I'm sure I've run out of time already, and these things we write to you that your joy may be full. These things we write to you that your joy may be full. You see, the world doesn't know joy. I'm getting back to the song, the songs that I mentioned in the beginning. In the first song, Little Lights, he talks about the little light shining in our hearts. And he talks about how these lights are slowly going on. Every time we have disappointments in life or someone hurts us, our light goes out until we're old, until all the lights go out, and eventually we basically die alone. Now, that sounds sad, but you know what? That is the truth for many, many people. That was the truth for Robin Williams when he committed suicide. All the lights had gone out, and he just saw no reason to live, despite everything that he had. Despite all of his wealth and all of his fame and all of his, he died alone and lonely, and he had no joy in his heart. In his life, he might have had many happy times. He was a comedian. He used to laugh all the time. But somewhere in him was a need. Somewhere in him was a loneliness that wasn't filled in Hollywood, wasn't filled with the people around him. He desired to know God. The Bible says that Jesus Christ is the light that lights every man that comes into this. You see, he's singing about something he doesn't even know. He thinks we're just born with millions of shining lights. No, the light that he's born with is Jesus Christ. But the fact is, that's the light that lights every man that comes to the world, but the darkness despises the light. People don't want to know the truth. People reject their conscience. They reject these things because they want to live the life that they want to live, because they believe it will bring them happiness, because they'll believe it will fulfill their lives. People, who created you? Who formed you in your mother's womb? Who made you the way you are with your talents that you have, with your interests that you have, with the things that excite you? Who made you that way? Jesus Christ. And who understands what would truly make you happy? Who understands what would truly bring you fulfillment? Who understands how best to live a life that fulfills all your potential but the one who created you? The ironic thing is that people look for things in different places, and they take drugs to try and get some chemical thing in their brain to have a spiritual reaction. And by the way, drugs are spiritual. They're bad spiritual. But they try and take all these things to have a spiritual experience and somehow within themselves experience something. But what they're looking for is the Creator. They're looking for Jesus Christ in a relationship with Him. And he says, and keep on walking. He says, I'm walking through. And basically, he looks around. He sees all these lost people. And he says, like a stone carried on the river, like a boat sailing on the sea, well, I'll keep on walking. I'll keep on walking till I find that old love, or that old love comes to find me. This is not a Christian. This is probably an atheist. But he understands that there is something in his life that he's missing. And you know what? That old life did come to find him. That old life is there. That old love is poured out through Jesus Christ and wants a relationship with him. He needs Christ. Just like all of our friends need Christ, people need Jesus Christ, and he wants a relationship with us. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just are in awe of you. And Lord, as we sang the worship this morning, and just all the songs just point to who you are, holy and holy, Lord, separate, but yet you wanted a relationship with your creation. And you paid the price, Lord. You are the one that died on the cross so that we might know you. And as mind-boggling as it is, that eternal God wants to talk to me and wants me to experience him. Lord, how true it is. And so, Lord, we pray that you would just set in every one of us a desire to die to ourselves and live for you, a desire to get to know you more and more every day, to stop trying to find happiness and fulfillment in things, and rather to find fulfillment in our relationship with you, in our relationships with one another. And in your name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen. Thank you very much.